This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, T. Shao-Yik and Juliet Jacobs. Earlier, we talked about a Facebook role-playing page called a group where you pretend to be ants in an ant colony. And we were basically just trying to figure out what people see in these kinds of groups and role-playing in particular. What do they get out of it, and how does it provide some form of escapism, especially during these difficult times? But now moving on to our second story, we have a question for you on Twitter.
Yes, we're asking you whether you've seen disposable face masks being littered in public. And so far, more than 65% of you have said yes, way too many. Almost 30% of you have said yes, just a few. And 5.4% of you have said not at all. I am very surprised that there's even 5.4%. And so, you know, if you have any thoughts, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Let us know, you know, have you been picking up the face mask that you've been seeing? You know, how are you dealing with the trash and the litter? Mm-hmm. You know, we'd like to know that as well. So the reason we're talking about this, you know, many countries have made face masks mandatory to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic and, you know, to basically help open up society during this time. Yep. Here in Malaysia, for example, it's mandatory to wear face masks inside public transportation, crowded public spaces and areas where social distancing is impossible. But aside from limiting the transmission of COVID-19, disposable plastic masks are having a devastating effect on the planet, adding to the world's growing plastic problem. According to the World Economic Forum, the fight against plastic pollution is being hit by the COVID-19 pandemic as the use of disposable masks, gloves and other protective equipment soars.
Yep, so just sharing some stats for you. According to the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development, this extraordinary increase in the production of disposable masks is estimated to increase global sales from some $166 billion this year, and that's up from around only $800 million back in 2019.
Wow, that's some crazy stats. And, you know, recent media reports showing videos and photos of divers picking up masks and gloves, and even, you know, just regular folks, you know, picking up a disposable mask from the beaches, you know, littering the waters around the world. All of these were a real wake-up call for many, you know, refocusing our minds on the plastic pollution issue. And if historical data is a reliable indicator, it can be expected that around 75% of the used masks, as well as other pandemic-related waste, will end up in landfills or floating in the seas. And aside from the environmental damage, the financial cost in areas such as tourism and fisheries is estimated by the UN Environment Programme, or UNEP, at around $40 billion.
Wow.
US dollars. And UNEP has also warned that if the large increase in medical waste, you know, much of which is made from environmentally harmful single-use plastics, if that's not managed soundly, uncontrolled dumping could result.
Yeah. So in an article in The Conversation, researchers wrote that despite millions of people being told to use face masks, there has been very little guidance given to us on how to actually dispose of or recycle them safely. They also described how the majority of masks are manufactured from long-lasting plastic materials, and if discarded, can persist in the environment for decades, even to hundreds of years. And that's a problem that's going to persist through generations, isn't it?
That's right.
And this, of course, means that they can have a number of impacts on the environment and on people. For example, initially, discarded masks may risk spreading coronavirus to waste collectors, litter pickers, or members of the public who first come across the litter. Because we know that in certain conditions, the virus can survive on a plastic surgical mask for up to 7 days.
Yes, and over the medium to long term, animals and plants are also affected. You know, through its sheer mass, plastic waste can smother environments and break up ecosystems. Mm. Some animals also cannot tell the difference between plastic items and their prey, subsequently choking on pieces of litter. And even if they don't choke, animals can become malnourished as the materials fill up their stomachs but provide no nutrients. And smaller animals may also become entangled in the elastic within the masks or within gloves as they begin to break apart.
Yeah, and plastics break down into smaller pieces over time, and the longer litter is in the environment, the more it will decompose. So plastics first break down into microplastics and eventually into even smaller nanoplastics. These tiny particles and fibers are often long-lived polymers that can accumulate in food chains. So just one mask can produce millions of particles, each with the potential to also carry chemicals and bacteria up the food chain and potentially even into us humans. And of course, littered areas also tend to encourage further littering, making the problem worse.
Yeah, I think we've seen that, right? You'll see a little mound, the next thing you know, it's a dump site.
Because everybody thinks, oh, somebody else has done it, so it's okay for
it's
me
okay.
to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, just take a short walk anywhere, and I guarantee you, you will see discarded face masks on the ground.
I agree.
Yep. Yeah. I even saw them. I went to Fraser's Hill not too long ago, and it was in the middle of a jungle, a forest trail.
No.
Yes, and more than one. And, you know, a walk around my neighborhood recently, I've encountered disposable rubber gloves. Okay. I've seen used tissues, wet wipes. I've even seen sanitizer bottles scattered about. How about you?
The detritus of COVID-19, right?
Yes, apparently we've learned nothing.
Definitely all of these are in my very own neighborhood as well. And I see so many people still just using the disposable masks so freely. And at the same time, the reusable masks have become very ubiquitous and quite affordable. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering why people aren't turning to those, because even just the cost of it, of paying for a reusable mask, very quickly you earn back, you know, your investment, and you realize how much more expensive it is to use the disposable masks instead.
Exactly. And I think maybe the problem is that they think, you know, the hassle of having to constantly wash the reusable
mask
might be a problem. Maybe they think it's safer for them just to dispose of it and not have it anywhere near their house. Who knows? But I think the key thing is to dispose of it properly if you are still using them.
Yeah,
going down that path. And, you know, it's hard, you know, especially now with a pandemic, you don't want to touch it.
Yes.
You know, and so even I know people like you, for example, you would pick up trash if you see it, right?
You used to, right? And then just find the nearest bin to throw it into. But now, and I tell my son the same thing, don't touch it, because we don't know how it could be contaminated.
Exactly. Tissues as well, right? It's all these other things as well. And I mean, I've sometimes, once in a while, if I had plastic bags on hand, I would, you know, put those over my hands and pick up some trash, but hardly consistently, because I'm scared as well. You know, for me, the risk is, you know, too great. But someone who has been making it a daily practice is Elizabeth Bury. She is a yoga and Pilates instructor, and she's currently based in Miri at the moment, but, you know, she was appalled by the amount of trash, and including so many face masks, which were littering the beaches over in Miri. And she took it upon herself to do a small cleanup every day, and she also documented it on video to raise awareness to the problem. Funny thing, she even made like TikTok instructional videos on how to pick up trash because, you know, some people just didn't know how to do it. You know, imagine having to do that. But as far as she was concerned, you know, it was better to have it out there, to have the information out there, and hopefully encourage others to do the same. So I really think that's great, you know, rather than just complaining.
That's true. You know,
she got right to it. She did it by herself as best as she could. And she's joining us now on the line to share more about her efforts. Welcome, Liz. Thank you so much for joining us today. So I think it's safe to say that all the litter was really getting to you. Can you share what the waste problem is like over in Miri where you are?
Well, in general, you know, when I'm looking in the streets of Miri town, it looks fairly clean. So my assumption is that we didn't really have much of a litter problem. I think what shocked me was going to the beaches and seeing how bad the waste is. So it's almost like for show. It feels like, you know, Miri town itself, it is well taken care of, but they've completely ignored the beaches, the whole beach line. And I find that really, really sad, really disappointing. I don't know. I haven't visited any of the landfills. I'm scared too. There are a couple of recycling centers that I've been to, and they're filled. But I don't know if anybody even recycles either. I don't know. But I know for a fact that the beaches are just ignored for whatever reason.
But that's when you decided to embark on a solo 20-day beach cleanup project, right? So why was it important for you to do that? And can you tell us more about what got you started?
It wasn't going to be just 20 days. It's a long-term thing. So the background to that, how that even got started and why I decided to do that, actually started in May. So in May, I own a yoga Pilates studio in Ampang, in Kuala Lumpur. And during the MCO, we were obviously closed. It's not like I can offer any classes, any yoga classes. But one of the things that I could do, because my studio is all of 20 minutes walk to my house, was I could walk there and offer free yoga classes and free meditation and breathwork classes online on IG and Facebook, which I felt was so important for everybody's anxiety. Because remember, in the beginning of the MCO, everybody was freaking out. Yeah. And it was something that I wanted to give back to the community, because that's like my big thing. So every day I would walk to the studio, you know, because it was just that nearby. But on May 18th, I was attacked by two men on two motorcycles. They were mocking me. They circled around me and they attacked me from behind. My goodness. And they were going to ram me. Yeah, they were going to ram me one more time. But, you know, yeah, just before they were going to ram me the second time, I was really lucky that another motorcyclist passed by and they stopped and freaked out and left. So I was already emotionally traumatized and I wanted to go back home. I was like, okay, I've had enough of this. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go back home. But at the time I wasn't able to, because you needed a police permit. And what happened to me was just not considered an emergency. So once I got back in July, I came back to Miri to heal from the trauma and to just get away from this. And what I remember and what has always been since I was a kid is going to the beach to be healed by Mother Nature and to be close to nature, and because this is my home. And so that is the reason why I came back to Miri. I wanted to be healed. So to come back to the beach and see the state of the beach was heartbreaking. It was devastating. You know, I'm already emotionally traumatized, and there, and it became even more. I was even more emotionally traumatized looking at this beach and going, what happened? What happened? Mm-hmm. And I found it completely unacceptable. And so I decided that I was going to every day clean up the beach. And it was more important that I had that connection with Mother Earth and that connection with God. And I'm not religious, but I'm quite spiritual. I mean, I'm a yogi, so I'm obviously spiritual. So I needed that. But I also decided that I would document it and have my camera with me on a daily basis, because I wanted to create an awareness and tell people this is what I'm doing. The other thing that I was getting from a lot of people when I started was, why bother? We have Gotong Royongs. We have Gotong Royong once every month or once every 3 months or once a year. And it always comes back the next day. And I'm like, obviously, it's going to come back the next day. And I would give the example of, it's like brushing your teeth, okay? You actually brush your teeth every single day, because it will always get dirty within the day, not even within 24 hours. Within the day, you're going to have to brush your teeth twice. So I can do that. So that's one thing that I wanted to share with everyone, that this needs to be a daily thing. The other thing is that you don't need to put in that much effort. That was also another important thing I wanted to point out to people, that you don't need to have a big group. You don't have to wait for a massive Gotong Royong of 300 people to do this with you. You can actually do it alone, and you can make it a spiritual thing. You can make it a thing that you are doing it for Mother Earth. You can do it. You are doing this for nature. You are doing this for your town, your hometown, your birthplace. I felt that was really important, and it's great if you can have a friend with you, a couple of friends with you, but you don't need to have it as a big event. And then the other point I wanted to make was, it doesn't have to be something that takes hours. I still have to work. I still have to teach. I'm still teaching. You know, I still have my daily life. But what I needed to do was at least spend half an hour, you know, to an hour of my day picking up the trash. So that's what I wanted to show.
I'm just curious, Liz, you know, to know how passers-by actually reacted to what you were doing.
The first 20 days, everybody ignored me. There was for a while, yeah, they just ignored me. They just pretended I wasn't even there. And they still pretended I'm not there. Not actually now, because of the previous video, they at least smile at me. Mm. And some actually do approach me, but majority of the time they pretend I'm not there. And there was a time that I was doing it in the evening to then gain awareness, to kind of gain attraction and awareness, like get people looking at what I'm doing, how absurd this little girl is picking up the trash and hopefully that makes a difference in their life. But then after a while, when I realized that they're still throwing trash and they're ignoring me, I decided I don't need this. I don't need anybody else to see this. I can do this early in the morning when the sun is rising and be done by 8. It was like, I'm done by 8, the end of story. And yeah, let this be between me and Mother Earth. So after a while, it did get really uncomfortable to be ignored. It really did. It was really uncomfortable. But there was also, as the video started to gain traction and people start, now people call me the environmental lady. It's weird.
Dear.
Yeah, you're the environmental lady. And I'm like, yes, I am. And so they'll give me a thumbs up, good job. And, you know, they'll say like, why you do it? What's the point? You know, tomorrow is going to get dirty. I get also I also get the remark, well, at least you know you'll have a job for life. This is a losing battle. You're fighting a losing battle. I've gotten that too. And of course, the other common one, which is meant to be a joke, I guess, is, you know, we mess it up for you as a younger generation to clean up our mess. It's
what does that even mean?
I don't even know. I don't even know. It's almost like they laugh at it and say to me, what it makes it sound is like, we take care of you, you know, like we have raised you, we have taken care of you as our children, and now you're going to have to take care of us. It's that kind of mentality. Because I think in the majority of the time, as a millennial, the comments I get is like, okay, millennials are lazy, spoiled brats. And it's almost like this is your punishment. You have to just clean up after us now. That's what I feel. Because the people who are making that remarks are 10, 20 years older than I am.
So Liz, like you said, your actions have gained traction online. You've been making the TikTok videos. Are you seeing more people at least helping to pick up trash and getting on board with this movement?
You know, just recently, a couple of weeks ago, my mom shared with me a screenshot of a group, a little like mommy kids group that did pick up the trash. But it's like a little kiddie group. And, you know, they picked up the trash for, I don't know, a little under an hour, just to show kids like this is what you do and this is good for the environment and stuff. So I do see it. Mm-hmm. There is, I'm going to be part of an NGO called the Paint the World. The founder approached me and we're going to have a beach cleanup in October. So it is gaining a little bit of traction. It is getting people to think, which is nice. People have been messaging me and, you know, calling me and saying, how can we do it in our place, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So I do feel, but also this is all my generation and the younger generation. Okay. And I think that's important. That's the reason, actually, coincidentally, when you mentioning TikTok, that's the reason why I even opened a TikTok account, because I wanted to, if I can't teach old dog new tricks, and if the old dogs are going to be cynical, fine. I want to then work towards gaining the attention of the young generation, because they're all we have.
And, you know, what are you hoping to do moving forward, especially, you know, with all these efforts?
Yeah. So my project is this. This is my idea. Obviously, doing it by myself is it's nice. It's fine. It's noble. Sure. But I am only one person and there's a lot more trash compared to this one little 5-footer. You know, it's not going to be enough. I believe that it needs to be a social enterprise of some sort. This is how I vision it. I feel that we need to not only give back to the environment, but give back to the people. So right now I've hired a couple of people. This is out of my own pocket right now. This is very experimental. But I'm investing in hiring a couple of people who I know were either laid off during the lockdown or just don't have a stable job and they need the money to raise their kids. So I've hired them and I'm paying them 50 ringgit a day to help me pick up the trash. Mm-hmm. And I'm videoing that as well. I'm recording that as well. And eventually I want to create like a crowdfunding of some sort and create a company where if I can get crowdfunding, because I know that people want to help, they just don't know how to help. And people are willing to donate something. If they're willing to donate a little bit, then I can then hire more staff, I suppose, to help me clean up the trash with me. At the same time, a lot of the comments and complaints are that the trash is coming from the rivers. I'm not even too sure that is true, because I went on Merdeka itself. I went to every single beach early in the morning at sunrise to document what the beaches look like. I don't think that the trash from the beach has anything to do with anybody, any village from the rivers, you know, on the riverside. But if I can reach those villages and say, okay, instead of you throwing the trash, we can educate you. But at the same time, what would you like, a job where you're helping me pick up the trash and you're getting a little bit of a salary from it? I think that way we're helping them as well as they're helping us. So it's not just, you're not just giving a token to the poor or whatever. They're working for us, but for the environment. So that is my idea at the moment. It's obviously still in infancy stage, so just idea stage, but that's how I see it. Currently, yesterday, I talked to a drug rehab center here in Miri, and they're willing to give me 12 guys from their center a day over the weekends, every weekend, to help me pick up the trash at the beach. And we'll do a sort of a barter trade. They help me, I help them. So we're doing that right now, and I'm hoping that it will grow. And that's a way of creating some sort of awareness. Yeah. I think that the problem and the old way of doing it, of having this gotong royong once in a while and getting people to volunteer once in a while, it just doesn't work. That is not a solution. That it's not a workable idea. So we got to figure out how to make it a workable idea. So I'm still in the process. It feels to me like I've got the dots as ideas, and now I'm just trying to figure out how to connect the dots.
Thank you so much, Liz. That was Elizabeth Bury, a Pilates and yoga instructor who has been picking up trash around the beaches in Miri on her own, hoping to encourage others to do so as well. And it's interesting, she's trying to make it, you know, she has plans to make it into a social enterprise.
I know. I think that's a great idea, because at first I was thinking, well, no, if everybody just does, you know, shows individual responsibility and picks up after themselves. But what she's doing is she can actually give other people income and create awareness among communities as well. So I think there's sort of a ripple effect from what she's doing.
Yes, hopefully. And, you know, just going to social media, we actually asked you if you've been seeing disposable face masks being littered in public. And 65% of you have said yes to many, while another 30% of you have said yes, just a few. So the majority, of course, is yes. Just 4.6% of you have said no. We had a comment from Rebel to Save the Environment, who said that they have even seen face masks being thrown by luxury car drivers as well. So yes, I think it cuts across. Everybody just doesn't want to deal with their own waste and just get rid of it.
That's right.
Yeah. And just going back to the issue of face masks, you know, in March, the World Health Organization estimated that 89 million additional disposable masks were needed globally per month in medical settings alone to combat COVID-19.
And that's just the medical setting.
Exactly.
That's not for individual consumers or the public like us. So what can we do to reduce the impact of wearing a face mask? Here are some tips. You know, for one, you could use reusable masks that don't require disposable filters. And so you can just machine wash these masks regularly following the instructions for the fabric. You do could try to carry a spare reusable mask as well. So if something goes wrong with the one you're wearing, you don't need to use or buy a disposable mask. And if you do need to use a disposable mask, take it home, maybe in a bag if you have to take it off, and then put it straight into a bin with a lid. And if this isn't possible, place it into a proper public bin instead.
Yes, and never ever put disposable masks in the recycling bin. You know, they can get caught in specialist recycling equipment and can be potential biohazard to waste workers. And, you know, bottom line, whatever you do, Just don't litter.
Absolutely, yeah. Continue to send us your thoughts. If you have anything else you'd like to share, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We're also on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture. You can drop us a line there. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, Sharmila Ganesan will be speaking to Jamal Al-Idrus from Artemis Art about a gallery called Conversing with Basquiat Through Art. We'll leave you now with A Bad Habit by The Cooks. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.